In 1996, Rolling Stone contributing editor David Lipsky spent a week with David Foster Wallace on the heels of his success with Infinite Jest. Later, after Wallace's suicide in 2008, Lipsky was assigned to cover the writer's life and death, and he wrote a remarkable article called The Lost Years and Last Days of David Foster Wallace. Lipsky later won a National Magazine Award for the piece and went on to publish a book about his time with Wallace called Although, of Course, You End Up Becoming Yourself, A Road Trip with David Foster Wallace.
He had all the anxieties that someone has when their first book is coming out, the sense of achievement, will it be as big as it seems to me? I just spent a year on this. He'd written the first draft of the book, Broom of the System, during his senior year at Amherst. It came out, it was very successful for a first novel. It was the lead title in a new imprint of paperbacks, I think, that HarperCollins was doing. In any event, you know, he'd been in organized education at that point for, what, 14, 15 years? You know, high school, college, graduate school. And he was having a hard time writing without a schedule. And he thought, oh, you know, I've always done writing as a sideline to the academic work. I think I'll do great if I go back in an academic environment. So he joined. He got a full ride to get a PhD in philosophy at Harvard, which he somehow thought could be a part-time thing. But of course, the workload at Harvard was not at all what he expected.
And of course, he didn't then have the time in the evening to work on the writing that he'd hoped he would.
No, exactly. So he refers to that when he and I were talking, he spoke of that as being the bleakest time of his life. Mm. He was drinking at that point a lot to sort of self-medicate and having a terrible time, I think, actually writing fiction. And so that was how he ended up checking himself into the Harvard Student Health Center saying, look, I think there's a problem. I've been thinking about hurting myself. He ended up at McLean's, which has also been a host to Sylvia Plath and Robert Lowell, and then was prescribed Nurdle from then, I think, about November of 1989 on.
And that did seem to do the trick. I mean, no chemical is perfect, but it did seem to give him what he needed in order to get back on track.
Oh, yeah. You know, his first two books, Broom of the System and Girl with Curious Hair, both really strong. And then the stuff that he's famous for is stuff that he then, it had no negative effect. I mean, I'll just speak as a reader and a great fan of his work. You know, I had read the first two books. You know, I was really looking forward to Infinite Jest. It was also great. I mean, it didn't, whatever chemical it had to counteract, the Nurdle seems to have counteracted that and given him, you know, what readers know of him is all from 1989 on, basically.
And the problem that came up was his decision to go off the drug Nurdle. What happened?
He had been on Nurdle for about 20 years. Taking Nurdle wasn't perfect. And because David, when he was living out in California, was actually so very happy, right? He'd always wanted to be married. He'd made this great marriage. He had this great job at Pomona. You know, they'd made a chair for him. He was the Roy E. Disney, I think, professor of creative writing, which is funny for any reader of Infinite Jest because it's a subsidized academic chair. But he was incredibly happy. And so he thought now he'd eaten a meal that may have sort of catalyzed some of the, there are certain foods you can't eat if you're on Nurdle. And so he'd had a meal that he thought might have interacted badly with the drug. But he took that as an opportunity to say, look, I've been on this drug for 20 years. I'm really happy. I'm strong now. I'd like to get off this drug. And it didn't work. And then after a year of trying almost every other antidepressant available, they tried to go back on the Nurdle. And this is one of the great risks of going off a successful chemical agent like Nurdle. It no longer worked. So I wouldn't look at things like this is the story of genius gone bad or the candle that burns twice as bright lasts half as long. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a story about an incredibly confident and intelligent and vividly charming person who, because of strength and optimism, made a mistake.
As you write it, it sounds as though he really was trying to get through all of this. Looking back on it, do you feel differently about it?
Well, he had given the drugs 15 or 16 months to work. This started in June of 07, and now it was mid-September of 08. Now, as someone who knew him a little and loved his work, of course I wish that he had given it 5 years to work, 10 years. I wish he'd given it an infinite number of years. But I think, he had lost 70 pounds in a year. He hadn't been sleeping. His parents came out to be with him about a month before he died. You know, he was sitting on the floor, you know, he wouldn't leave the house. He was afraid that his students would see him and see how he was. And one thing that really struck his father was his father said, as if the students would do anything but give him a hug, you know. And, I mean, if you've ever gone without sleep for even a few days, if you can imagine a summer of really no sleep or a year of on and off no sleep, you can imagine the situation that he was in.
Yeah. Would he have been surprised, do you think, by the are the outpouring of affection for him, of admiration for him, of surprise that he was gone, that followed his death?
You know, it didn't surprise me as a reader of him, because everyone I know, it was like, maybe it's one of those things that's so much a given that it's not really a secret. But I think for people, what was very surprising, I think what really took the wind out of people was, in fact, not just how happy and funny he seems in his work, but how humane his sense of the world is, how humane his sense of life is. Because he's someone who's arguing always that, look, if you actually kind of learn to take some pleasure in the things that are particularly irritating or awful, and if you learn to kind of moderate the voice that Beller talks about inside you that says, I want, then in fact life can become this incredibly funny, sharp, alive thing. And that was what people, that's what a lot of people took from his work. I mean, it's an incredibly lively body of work. And so to have the author of that body of work suddenly dead by their own hand, I think is part of what was incredibly stunning to people.
David Lipsky is a contributing editor at Rolling Stone and the author of the article The Lost Years and Last Days of David Foster Wallace and the book Absolutely American.